There is no way by which man can be saved but by the blood of Jesus. I am Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. This broadcast comes to you each week over this station at this time. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray now that you'll help us to open our spiritual eyes, our spiritual understanding, and our spiritual heart to receive these precious truths. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text today is from the 19th chapter of John. I shall read to you from the story of Christ's crucifixion. Jesus was crucified amidst two criminals, one on his left and one on his right. After 6 hours on the cross, our scripture tells us, quote, "Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water," unquote. For God to accept Jesus' death as punishment, as atonement for our sins, the sacrifice had to be a blood sacrifice. There are many ways of putting a man to death without the shedding of blood. In fact, stoning was the most common method used by the Jews to put criminals to death. Isn't it a miracle that Jesus was not stoned to death? They tried to stone him after the first sermon he ever preached. How many times did they stone him or try to stone him? Oh, how close Jesus came to being stoned. But had Jesus been stoned to death, he could not have become your and my Savior. Stoning is more associated with damage to the vital organs than with profuse bleeding. But God needed a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice, with the blood being spilled out on the ground. And so God had it planned that at the time of the coming of Jesus, the Romans would occupy Israel, and God had it so planned that the Jews would refuse to kill Jesus on Good Friday when they wanted him killed because it was the preparation of the Passover. They could not do it if it was against their law. The Jews, the Pharisees particularly, tried to stone Jesus many, many times, but the day when they really wanted him dead, really wanted him killed, when Jesus did not get away from them, they could not stone him because it was against their law. So the leaders of the Jews could not wait. They were so enraged, they could not wait until after the feast of the Passover to kill Jesus by the common method of stoning. And so it was left to the Romans to kill Jesus on Good Friday. And one of the most common Roman methods of killing their worst criminals was by crucifixion. Are you getting this? The Jews tried many times to kill Jesus by stoning, but every time Jesus got away, the day he did not get away, when they could have stoned him, was the day the law did not permit them to do it. And so we have the cry of the Jews to Pilate, the Roman, "Crucify him, crucify him." And that meant we want him killed today, and we can't do it by our method of stoning today. So why don't you do it by your method of crucifixion today? How remote, my friend, was the possibility of Jesus being crucified by the order of a Gentile Roman, a foreigner, who didn't even think Jesus was guilty of death, because Pilate said, "I find no fault in him." So Jesus' blood was shed. It came from his pierced hands, it came from his pierced feet, and it came out from his side and spilled on the ground. Like all the blood of all the animal sacrifices was spilled on the ground, the Jews wanted to stone Jesus, but stoning was not spilling blood to the ground. Our text says, "But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water." So this all falls in line with the scripture, which says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. So stoning was out. So there's a scarlet thread that runs all the way through the Bible, and it tells us that there's no salvation without the shedding of blood. Now, the first remote sign of the need for blood sacrifice to atone for our sins is found in Genesis, where the second man born of woman by the name of Abel gave a blood sacrifice. The Bible tells us Cain, the first man born of woman, gave a sacrifice of the fruit of the ground. But Abel, the second person born by woman, gave an animal sacrifice. He spilled the blood of an animal on the ground. And we do know some of the details of how God felt about these sacrifices from the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. For it says there, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. This tells us right here, by the words, quote, he being dead yet speaketh, unquote, that Abel was saved by a blood sacrifice. And if you look at the Bible as a whole, we know that Abel was saved by the blood sacrifice of an animal, which pointed to the blood sacrifice of Jesus. So he was really saved by Jesus' blood. So it says, Abel gave a more excellent sacrifice than his brother Cain, a better sacrifice. Cain offered what appeared to have been a thanksgiving offering, but Abel offered what appears to have been a sin offering. So somehow Abel knew that his sin was so great in the sight of a righteous God that the punishment for his sin should be death, and that an animal could be considered as a substitute for him dying for his sinfulness, and he knew that this would be acceptable to God, and so he killed an animal and spilled its blood on the ground. Dear friend, there's a scarlet thread beginning with Abel that runs all the way through the Bible. There's no remission of sins, there's no salvation without the blood. It says Abel obtained witness that he was righteous. It is by the blood of Jesus that we obtain witness that we are righteous. So his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. As we go on into the history of the blood, we find out later in Genesis 9 that God declared all blood as being sacred. And then we go on and find out that God forbade man from ever eating blood. In fact, the penalty for eating blood was death because of the sacredness of the blood. The blood always pointing to Jesus, the final blood sacrifice. And this doctrine was accepted by the early Christians, so that we find in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts a decree being sent out by the Jerusalem Council, the first church council, as far as we know, ever held, and the Christians were instructed never to eat blood. For it says there in verse 29 of Acts 15, quote, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols and from blood. God does not want us to eat any meat with blood in it. Two of the great physical signs that speak to us of God's mercy are the rainbow and the blood. So the Jews were taught by the revelation of God that they were not to eat blood, but they were to bring a blood sacrifice to the temple, to the place of worship, three times a year, and it could be a sheep or a goat or a bull. It had to be a perfect animal. And that as these men came to the priest, they had to place their hand upon the head of this animal while the priest was cutting the jugular vein to make that animal bleed to death, the animal dying of bleeding under the hand of the sinner. This was to teach them that the moment of death, the death of the animal, their sins, the punishment for their sins, would go from their body into the body of this animal, and so the animal would die instead of them. All of this, as we look upon the whole Bible, was pointing to Jesus' blood, the absolute final sacrifice without which no man can be saved. This coming to the temple was mandatory. It was not a voluntary thing. There was no other way. There was no other way by which these men could get forgiveness for their sins, by which they could get right with God, but by this blood sacrifice. And by these means, they were taught that God is holy, and that sin cannot stand in the presence of a holy God. By this they learned that God is not only holy but also just, that he demands justice and punishment for every sin. But there's also another lesson. not only that God is holy and just, but that God is merciful, making a way for us to come to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So our text is, for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. You cannot work your way into heaven by just doing good things, by good deeds. It's been said many times, well, Mr. So-and-so is such a good man. He does not go to church, he doesn't pray, he doesn't talk about Jesus, he doesn't read the Bible, but he's a good man. He's a good man. He gives thousands of dollars to the poor and for orphanages, and he's kind to his neighbors. He's honest. His children are raised to be good citizens. He's a good scholar. And when he dies, some preacher will say to him, yes, he was a good man. He's going to heaven because he was a good man. In fact, he was better than many a Christian in a neighborhood, because a Christian in a neighborhood never helped the Boy Scouts and never helped fundraising for people with cancer and heart disease, etc. But, oh, my friend, I want you to know, as important as good deeds are, the first measure as to whether a man goes to heaven or not is whether he has received the blood sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, whether he has acknowledged his sin and has known and does know he needs the blood of Jesus to be saved, to be cleansed, to be made acceptable in the sight of God, and whether he then receives Jesus himself who shed his blood. That's the first measure of our salvation. And good deeds, yes, they must follow. While Mr. Good will do all kinds of good things in the community, the Christian, well, he may not do so much good in the community as Mr. Good does, but he, my friend, might be found in his prayer closet every day interceding to God for the nations, for the lost, for the sick, and for revival, worldwide revival, doing what God tells him to do, and not just trying to impress the neighborhood. Oh, my friend, the Bible says there's no salvation without the blood of Jesus. And so we have this great hymn written by Robert Lowry. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'll take this other beautiful song. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath its flood lose all their guilty stains. So if you didn't know until now why Jesus' blood was shed, you know it now. If you didn't know until now why Jesus had to go to the cross instead of being stoned, you know it now. If you didn't know that your good deeds are not going to get you into heaven, you know it now. My friend, when Jesus and the two criminals were on the cross, the Romans came, and one of them took a spear and put it into the side of the Lord Jesus Christ, and blood and water flowed out. You know now why that had to be. It was done for you, to give you that chance to make it to heaven and to live with Jesus here on earth as your Savior and as your Lord. Now, if the Holy Spirit has been drawing you or calling you in your heart to come to God, please say this prayer after me and believe. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today as a sinner. I acknowledge your holiness. I acknowledge my sinfulness. I acknowledge that I deserve death and punishment forever. But I receive this blood sacrifice of Jesus for my sins. And I receive you, Lord Jesus, into my heart right now by faith. And I praise you and thank you that you've come into my life. And I will serve you now and forever. In Christ, my Lord, I pray. Amen. Praise the precious name of Jesus. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Goodbye now until next week. In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road, in Kokomo, Indiana.